Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's State of State. We got your Nittany Line update. It's a football discussion with Tom and Justin, so kick back and press play.
With former Penn State and NFL defensive back Justin King, I'm Tom Hanifin. This is State of State. This podcast is presented by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. Major League Baseball, golf, the NBA, and NHL playoffs especially. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. State of State is presented by BetOnline. The game starts here. Are you looking for a higher potential return on your savings? Turn to our sponsor, Save. As an SEC-registered investment advisor, Save safely combines the best parts of saving and investing with its market savings program. Market savings is a savings product that provides you with market returns instead of interest. The returns come from diversified investment portfolios based on your individual investment profile. The return from the investments is paid to you at the end of the selected investment term. But investing comes with risk, right? Well, with Save, your deposit is FDIC insured and never used for any investments. The current variable APYs are 9.07% for the one-year product and 7.9% for the five-year product. So what does this cost you? Well, Save only charges a fee when your investments make you money. To learn more or to sign up, visit joinsave.com/state. That's joinsave.com/state. The link to the website is in the description of this podcast. State of State invites you to join Save.
Joining us here on State of State from within the Believe Podcast Network family, one of the hosts of the Ruffino and Joe Show, which is a monster in the college football landscape. He is Joe DeLeon, who is back here on State of State. And the crux of this show, Joe, is a way for us to look at the autopsy of the transfer portal for Penn State football in particular over the winter transfer portal window and the spring transfer portal window. And I know Penn State fans are very specific in that the second you leave the program, they don't care. But I think it's very interesting in the way that players depart and you see the school that they go to or the coach that they go to play for. And automatically there's this innate feeling of we lost something or we didn't lose anything. You know, good riddance or oh crap. So that's kind of what I want to dive in with you today in particular. So like, comment, subscribe, rate us, turn on notifications, all that good stuff. Follow us on X, Instagram, TikTok at State of State Pod. Joe, first off, I think the one that's really breaking the hearts of Penn State football fans currently is safety King Mack leaving for Alabama. I think this is a more complex one. And inherently, Tom Allen's defense was going to field three safeties. Penn State has three very talented safeties in KJ Winston, Zaki Wheatley, and Jalen Reed. Jalen Reed expects to be kind of that slot corner slash safety slash linebacker out there every single down. And it was expected that King Mack was going to see the field. If you're playing three safeties, unfortunately, injuries can happen. You know, you're spelling guys, whatever. Seemed to have a lot of ability and was probably going to be a centerpiece for 2025. Now he's off to Alabama. On the surface, how did you feel about the move?
Yeah, I think that the one thing that stands out the most, and we actually, you know, just for some reason this past week, have been kind of looking at what Penn State brings to the table. And it's really concerning the amount that they're losing in their secondary to the draft. It's a huge testament to the coaching staff that they were able to develop guys like Kalen King and Daquan Hardy and Johnny Dixon for those guys to get drafted. But you're replacing two corners and a guy who was extremely important playing in the slot for you in Daquan Hardy. I was a very, very big fan of him in this draft class. So to lose a highly touted guy like King Mack, like that's significant. That's really huge. I almost wonder if maybe they're, you mentioned Tom Allen, like that's kind of one of the first things that I think of was there an early lack of meshing with him and in the new defensive scheme, new defensive coordinator? Did he maybe not feel comfortable with the way that things were looking? That's always easy to sit here and point to, but it's now this world that we live in where seemingly if Alabama or one of the top premier SEC programs needs to fix something, they're able to go and convince a guy to bring that player in. I'm not trying to imply that there was tampering, but teams get aggressive. They go after whoever they can.
Let's not be naive. It's possible.
Yeah. Well, and I had heard plenty of times that in Nick Saban's era, I mean, Nick Saban even alluded to it. He said that Quinyon Mitchell during the draft, that they tried to convince him to get in the portal and he did not. They did it with a lot of guys. They tried to do it with Tucker Kraft, who was a South Dakota State tight end. Tampering happens with these premier SEC programs. It's very possible that this could have happened with Kalen DeBoer, but the biggest thing that stands out to me, Tom, is just they're trying to reload in the secondary, and his role could have been important for Penn State in 2024. And to lose a guy like this, it could be critical, just like, and I know that we're going to probably end up getting to it, just like Keandre Lambert-Smith, who needs to be a premier player or would have needed to be a premier player.
King Mack is also a sophomore. So, and it's this question again, the transfer portal and NIL. What's the real window of time that a coaching staff has with a top flight talent to get him on the field to satisfy that need to play? That obviously that's why you're there. You're trying to get tape. Tape is your currency. It's something Justin King talks about all the time on this show, is probably he just didn't want to wait and not really see the field as a starter.
Yeah. And I almost, this is now becoming one of the most complex conversations that I think that we have that's not talked about enough. I feel like it's definitely talked in coaching circles, where how do you convince a kid? How do you try to satisfy a kid's desires to get onto the field in order to make him feel satiated, to make him feel like he is getting his worth and he's able to contribute and he is developing and learning and able to eventually move on to the NFL? And I mean, heck, even more than ever, your production on the field in the NIL space is going to help you garner more money and make the argument for getting more money. So it's difficult. I would argue maybe for a defensive back, it could be a little bit easier just to rotate somebody like that in on sub packages, but it is becoming increasingly and more increasingly difficult. One of the arguments that you kind of hear that is interesting that I think comes into play, and it's kind of unrelated to this, but I do think that more higher ranked recruits might even consider going to lower level Power 5 or lower level or higher level G5 programs in order to just get on the field, get the tape, and then bounce, and then to go elsewhere. I think that being on the field is now important than ever because it sets up that next opportunity even more than it ever did.
You just hit the nail on the head moments ago with Quinyon Mitchell at Toledo of all places, and your argument, I think it makes a ton of sense, because it's not even about Power 5 versus Group of 5 or Power 4, I guess now at this point. It's about the Super 2 versus everybody else. So is it really feast or famine for these players of, if I don't make it into the Big 10 or into the SEC, I don't really care where I'm going. NIL is certainly a factor. If you're getting paid, you're probably going. But at the same time, if I don't hook on with the SEC or the Big Ten, am I just going to take what's given to me? And, hey, you can start. You're guaranteed to start. Perfect. I'm there.
Well, that's also part of this too, where relating it back to Mac, I think it's, you would almost expect a situation like this that he might consider jumping somewhere where he knows that there's guaranteed playing time. I think what is going to help him here with Alabama, though, they're losing a lot in their secondary as well. I think that they're trying to be really bullish so that they don't take a step back in Kalen DeBoer's first year. But it's just the necessary, again, the necessary evil that now comes into play that you have to hope one of these premier teams. And it's crazy to be saying that for a program like Penn State, that's just such an iconic brand in college football, that Alabama, LSU, Ohio State could pick up the phone at any time and try to convince one of your players to hop in the portal and come play for them.
Well, you talk about branding. I think that's a big thing for college football fans when they're looking at the transfer portal. When you see King Mac goes from Penn State to Alabama, Penn State fans might not like this, but that's an upgrade in brand. That's one of the most dominant programs in the history of college football. Not to say that Penn State hasn't had its success, but we know the Alabama dynasty that has been occurring in front of our eyes for the last 20 years. It raises another question. Is Alabama still Alabama?
I think that they are, and I think that this is, we're going to get a real understanding of how competitive they're going to be, I think, within the first couple of weeks, which is easy to say, but they're just going to be a much different version of Alabama than we've ever seen. I feel like naturally it's always easy to think pro style, physical, punch you in the mouth. And it is going to be strange to watch as Kalen DeBoer tries to build the Washington version of Alabama, where they're stretching the field. They're trying to win games by putting as many points up on the board as possible. The one thing that could end up biting them in the butt is just, I don't know if that style of play necessarily leads to success in the SEC. It certainly leads to success in the Pac-12, where there's a lot less big bodies on the defensive line. There's maybe not as deep of secondaries that you're going to be facing. We saw what happened to Washington when they ran into a well-rounded, well-coached defense in Michigan. That was really their first legitimate test of a complete SEC type team, elite Big Ten type team.
Yep.
Right. I think that there is a world where Alabama, first couple of seasons, if they don't aggressively recruit the lines of scrimmage and they don't run the ball effectively, that they could end up taking a little bit of a step back.
Well, and then there's plenty of people, I don't think this is a revelation, have talked about how the SEC defensively has taken a step back over the last 5 years, and it kind of looks like the old Big 12. Not even the old Big 12, kind of like the current Big 12 in terms of lots of offense, not as much defense, higher scoring, and it's a faster paced game. But I think adding King Mac, especially with the departure of Caleb Downs, is King Mac going to be a starter immediately day one? That's another challenge he's going to have to figure out, because there's talent in that secondary room.
Well, and I think that what we also see now too, which is more important than ever, any of these teams that think that there is a capability to make a playoff run now that it's expanded, the ones that have a lot of money are just trying to go and get bodies. They're trying to convince, how many players can we give X amount of dollars, regardless of role? Maybe we can convince them that they're going to start, but they're maybe not going to be a full-time contributor on our defense. They're just trying to go get as many players as possible. The perfect example is Ole Miss. Anytime a top player goes in the portal, defensively, offensively, it feels like Ole Miss is always brought up in those conversations. They're just trying to get not just the premier players like Walter Nolan. They're also trying to make sure that they're two deep, that they're three deep, that they have the necessary players for certain sub packages for specific situations. That is a really good example, I think, of what we're moving towards, that Lane Kiffin understands. If we have the money available, we don't always need to go and grab the biggest name player. You do need guys that are just going to show up and play in specific packages when you need them. And this is kind of, I think, what Alabama is trying to do here with upside that Mac ends up becoming a full-time starter.
Speaking of the SEC, and you touched on him a little bit earlier on, Keandre Lambert-Smith, now a former Penn State wide receiver, now plays for the Auburn Tigers. And it's so funny, you just talked about how it's the big name player in the portal. Well, Keandre Lambert-Smith arguably was the biggest name wide receiver in the portal in the spring transfer portal window. Penn State fans are naturally going to say that's not saying much. That's like being a bush next to a very tall tree, something like that. Keandre Lambert Smith, for those of us in Happy Valley that have paid attention to his entire career thus far, know that there is a very high ceiling, but the gap between the ceiling and the floor is substantial. And to the point that there were flashes in 2022, especially in the Rose Bowl game against Utah, we saw what he can be as a game breaker. He has all the physical capabilities. 2023 kicked things off in really incredible fashion against West Virginia, had another little blip against Indiana to win the game for Penn State. But ultimately, he would disappear for whole games at a time, would get locked up in coverages, just was not going to be able to beat elite defensive backs. You can maybe point towards the inner turmoil going on at Penn State of Mike Yurcich versus James Franklin. That was evident and played out immediately after the Michigan loss. So it still remains to be seen if Keandre Lambert Smith can realize his full potential. Justin and I have always said it's a neck up issue with KLS. Him going to Auburn, however, interesting timing. It feels like Hugh Freeze is trying to build. I know he was at Ole Miss at one point, but seems like trying to follow in the footsteps of Ole Miss. What do you think of that program?
Yeah, this in general, the decision was really head scratching just overall. You talked about, and I think that my frustrations with Keandre Lambert Smith, with less of a focus on, you know, me not being a fan of Penn State, just knowing that he was good enough to maybe be more productive than he was. I feel like he has just always been, and for wherever he was going to transfer to, more of a secondary tertiary option. He never really took over and was that premier guy. The production was good, but never was, we need a first down, we need a big play, we're going to Keandre Lambert Smith. And last year, it felt like the receiver room for Penn State was just so inconsistent. And to lose a guy any level of production is going to be a massive, massive hit for this team. And Drew Allar, you're trying to establish chemistry and momentum going forward. And to lose a guy is just, it's so, so painful. But I don't really get how you can decide to go from Drew Allar and a Penn State offense that seemingly was improving to go to Auburn. Apparently, this must have just been purely money motivated that he just decided he wanted to go to Auburn, because Peyton Thorne, there were games where he was barely throwing for 120 yards.
We saw plenty of them at Michigan State. So I was never like, oh, that's an upgrade. Like, I'm still not sold on Drew Allar, but I know he's better than Peyton Thorne.
Right. That's where I come down. I have said, though, on Rufino and Joe, that I think that this year there's a world that Peyton Thorne could be a lot better than people expect. But at the end of the day, Drew Allar is far more physically gifted. There is a much higher likelihood that Drew Allar was going to be able to make better plays. This is one of those, and I'm not taking this to the full extreme, but I don't really think that Penn State fans should be super, super upset that a kid like this leaves, because
I'm not.
If he's willing to do this, he probably wasn't bought in. I mean, like, if he's willing to jump like this, like, it feels like that his priorities were elsewhere.
All right. Sidebar questions. One, what's your honest opinion on Drew Allar and his upside? And two, same question about Julian Fleming, because I cannot, for the life of me, get somebody to be honest with me that's within the Penn State circles, because people have jobs on the line. They want to have relationships with the university, all that sort of stuff. You have the national perspective. I'm very curious.
Allar has every potential and capability to be like a top five pick in the NFL draft. Every capability. And I don't think that's like a hot take. No one's going to be listening to this and go, oh my God, really? His recruiting evaluation, and you listen to any of these national recruiting services, they all acknowledge that he could have been arguably the number one recruit in his class. It depends on the service that you listen to in those rankings. The arm's there. He can rip it. The decision-making clearly was not there. And I think he was one of those dudes, it felt like, was really handicapped by over-evaluation. And a lot of times the over-evaluation comes from poor coaching, poor offensive decision-making. Kind of gave me the vibes, but to more of an extreme of CJ Stroud in his last year, where there were a lot of times where it looked like he had too much going on and he couldn't just make the decision that he needed to make to move the ball down the field. I'm holding out hope. And I remember the time that I came on was to talk about Kotelnicki, who I'm a very big fan of. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that Kotelnicki acknowledges how he can more effectively use him, but I don't see why there couldn't be a world where he doesn't have a JJ McCarthy type ascension, where he doesn't take this huge step forward this year. And because it's a weak quarterback class, he doesn't maybe decide to declare because he shows some really good things. If JJ McCarthy was good enough to enter the draft and teams were willing to buy in, he's got the same types of traits. He's got the same types of talent. But Julian Fleming, man, like I feel like he's a big what if. I mean, he's a big dude. I mean, he's a big, strong guy. One of the things, and it's something that you almost don't even pay attention to when you're watching film or tape or anything, that I haven't even noticed, but I hear he's a really good blocker. I mean, I guess that's going to be really important for when you're running the football, Tom. But he's a big what if.
Can't wait for 2023.
He was a big recruit, so at the very least, you know that you know there's something that you there's still something there to be tapped into.
He's a good blocker. Aller, what concerns Penn State fans is that he's another Christian Hackenberg. And then Julian Fleming,
yeah,
the concern is that he got lost in that shuffle at Ohio State, some due to injury, some due to the talent around him. Not necessarily because of those circumstances, but because he just wasn't good enough. And that him coming to Penn State is hanging on to an old recruitment from nearly 6 years ago and an old ranking from nearly 6 years ago. And it's like, all right, everything that we've heard from, you know, sources within the team is that he's a leader, he has experience, and he's a good blocker. Those sorts of things have been consistent. But it's like, well, tell me that he's been dominant. Tell me that he's been exactly what you thought he was going to be. And especially if you're spending potentially six figures on a guy.
Yeah.
And your number one, theoretically number one wide receiver, Keandre Lambert-Smith, just jumped in the portal. It just doesn't instill a lot of confidence in what you purchased and now what you have at the position.
I think to his defense, you mentioned how, first of all, there was a long line to get in the door just to get on the field. What would have been 2 years ago would have been like a year for him to contribute more. Jackson Smith and Jigba still there. Emeka Abuka, or Jackson Smith and Jigba didn't really play that year, but Emeka Abuka, Marvin Harrison Jr., they were the premier players. And then this past year, where he could have had a bigger role, the offensive play calling by Brian Hartline, Kyle McCord's decision-making, like it was a mess offensively. So to his defense, he has been just given some horrible timing. And the recruiting ranking, it's still there for a reason. The traits are all there. The physical tools are all still there. He could still figure it out. He's definitely better than what's in the room right now. And I think that that's where the sign of optimism at the very least should be.
State of State is a proud supporter of Blue White Outfitters. Blue White Outfitters was created as a retail shop meant to highlight the confidence, competitiveness, and fearlessness of the elite athletes found throughout the history of Penn State University. Check out their Lockdown U and Lawn Boys merchandise today. All sales from Blue White Outfitters directly benefit Penn State student athletes. Visit www.bluewhiteoutfitters.com today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Again, it comes back to this enormous bandwidth of what could be, you know, whether it's Auer, Fleming, or even King Mack or Keandre Lambert Smith versus what they seem to be or what at the worst they could be. It's just that it's a big gap. And ideally in college football recruiting, you're trying to find a surefire thing. Staying at wide receiver, another wide receiver that jumped into the portal was Malik McClain. This is an interesting one, 6'4", 230 pounds. So naturally, somebody's going to want him. He's now off to Arizona State. However, he was at Florida State. Then he went to Penn State. Now he's at Arizona State. Try to say that five times fast. And ultimately, McClain, I think this is now going to be his potentially fourth offensive scheme in less than 2 years. If you go from last spring, technically, with Florida State, got to Penn State in May, Yurcich gets fired, in comes Kotelnicki, 4 months of Kotelnicki, now you're off to Arizona State. That would blow anybody's mind. And then I think there's a very, very good conversation ahead. I heard it on the Cover 3 podcast is, what is the success rate of guys going to more than two schools? And especially a guy who I think now has 2 years of eligibility remaining, maybe three, somewhere in that neighborhood.
I really would love to... And I love listening to that show because they always ask a lot of questions like that, that I kind of wonder what that number is. And it probably not enough years of this happening where guys jump multiple times for us to really be able to run that data. But I feel like in 5 years, some analytics guru is going to take the time to do that of who's actually produced. This is the perfect example. I think that more and more in the future, a lot of premier programs are going to have kids like this that transfer once and then a second time in a very short period of time. And this is, again, like I hate saying this with some of these kids because like I try to be optimistic for them to figure it out. But in a lot of ways, sometimes these guys are lost causes and they just need to find some stability to finish, to graduate, to get their degree. It's very unlikely on the field that he is going to find some level of success with the amount of different coaches for him to get drafted and for him to be a premier NFL player. And it kind of reminds me of how with Bear Alexander, the second that there was a rumor that he was going to transfer again, everybody picked the kid apart. And I hope that his decision to stay was based on everybody criticizing him, because there is no way that you're going to be able to improve and get better as a young man, as a football player, all of that stuff by constantly jumping around. I mean, I think of it just like from the aspect of if you have a job, how much you're able to learn if you jump jobs every 9 months. You're not going to learn anything. You're just going to be jumping jobs for different locations. So, yeah, you know, a guy like this, McClain, the traits are there. He was a decently highly recruited kid. He's a huge frame and would have been nice if there was a way for that to work and to be figured out. But you kind of just have to shrug your shoulders and see what happens if he succeeds at Arizona State.
I sincerely hope he does. And now Arizona State moving into the Big 12, interesting landscape that he's going to be competing in this coming year. I believe Rashada, the quarterback, just transferred. So there's going to be a competition there. But to me, when I watched him, it was apparent in the blue-white game back in April, and then even the sparing opportunities he got on the field at Penn State in 2023, is that it felt like a big guy that doesn't know he's a big guy. It was kind of like those power forwards or centers at the high school level that go from 6'5 to 7 foot in the summer. And they're like, I don't know what to do with my limbs now. Little basic things that it doesn't seem like it's all gotten there. However, at the FBS level, size is king. So they're going to go after those measurables, whether it's like, oh, you're running a 4.340 or if you're 6'5", 320 pounds, they're like, here's a scholarship. Here's some NIL money. And he will have his chances to bounce around. Is it going to be somewhere on that spectrum from never leaving ever Stetson Bennett versus JT Daniels? I'll go to any school that has the word university in it. It's just, there's so many opportunities and you only hope the best for the kid. But again, this is now the third wide receiver. I'm going to get to two more, as a matter of fact, that Penn State has like gotten in the portal or seen transfer out. And it's just a big crapshoot, especially at a position that's so coveted now in the sport.
Yeah. And it almost, you know, you're talking about how much there's been so much turnover for Penn State in particular. They're probably up there with with the highest amount of receiver turnover in college football, as you're talking about. And we're not just saying like low end, back end guys. And I know you want to bring up Cephas probably that we're going to get
to.
Like,
oh, I do.
all these guys, it's weird. You almost wonder, is James Franklin just scaring these guys away? Like what is so not daunting, but unappealing that no one really wants to stick around? I will say that Cephas had to have been one of the most disappointing that it didn't work out, because God, he was so productive. He was so fun at Kent State. And you acknowledge this lower level of football and the way that he was able to perform. And I'm one of those few people who played at the lower level that is excited when these guys move up. Some of the people that played at FCS and G5 get mad when it happens, but you hope that Cephas was going to do well. And it didn't really connect. The dots didn't connect for some reason, but God, man, Penn State, the struggles to find a competent receiver has just been brutal. I don't know what's going on that there's such a fear for these guys to stick.
It's fascinating because Justin and I did a whole episode about this last week, is that Jahan Dotson's last season was 2021, goes into the 2022 draft. Shortly after him, it's Parker Washington, who's expected to be the number one guy in 2022, has some injuries. Parker Washington is not Jahan Dotson. Parker Washington is probably more suited to be a number two wide receiver in a college offense and is now more of a slot wide receiver in the NFL. No problem with that. Make your money. I'm very happy for all the success he's having. But to expect Parker Washington to pick up right where a Dotson, a Hamler, a Godwin, a Deshaun Hamilton, and Allen Robinson left off, really difficult to ask that. But that's also right around the time Mike Yurcich got there. And it's also right around the time that NIL and the transfer portal became a really big deal, not to mention the extra COVID year for people to consider this perfect storm. And then I think there's much more that has not been publicized out of the 2023 season of what was going on behind closed doors in terms of the disagreement between Mike Yurcich and James Franklin. And it was probably going back into the 2022 season, being very realistic. 2021 is your honeymoon year. 22, hey, this isn't what we thought it was. 2023, you're out. It's very likely that a lot of these guys kind of got caught up in that versus what the head coach wants and expects, what the production really is. Clifford Aller, yeah, you can point to that as well. But ultimately, I think there's a lot more that we just unfortunately don't know about what happened. And they went from 15 scholarship wide receivers last year, and they lost seven within the last 4 to 5 months.
It also, too, I would actually, and we're talking purely like, I wish I had a analytics background and the stomach to sit and just count things the way that some of these guys do. But I would love to know the proportion of receivers compared to other positions that get in the portal. Because if you think about it, typically in the NFL, the least happy position, they're receivers. They're usually the most vocal. They're usually the ones that are hopping on Instagram and changing their profile pictures and their bios. And it is always consistent.
Very sensitive. Yeah.
Yeah. To put it very nicely, but to just kind of dive into the nature of the position, it's a position that you have to fight to get the ball. And if you're getting open and you're not getting the ball, you're going to be really frustrated. So I would also argue, too, that now that there is unlimited transferring and there's also money on the table, like a guy like Keandre Lambert-Smith, who maybe jumps into the spring and feels like things aren't improving and he just wants the damn football, so he's going to a team that he thinks might get him it more. I think that this is going to be a trend that a lot of receivers just consistently are – are a position that gets frustrated really easily.
That being said, Dante Cephas to Kansas State, he might be in for some frustration. I think Avery Johnson is a hell of an athlete.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's necessarily a great passer yet. Could he be in for more frustration in Manhattan, Kansas?
I'm a little bit of a psycho. I love Avery Johnson. I think that there's a world that that kid is going to have an unbelievable year this year. I'm not saying he's going to win the Heisman, but I think that he is going to just really ascend and be in the national conversation enough so that Kansas State goes to the playoffs. So I think it's plausible. What's going to be a little tricky for them is replacing Colin Klein. I don't know how that impacts the offensive decision-making and just how things flow. But I think at the very least, we've seen a little bit more offensive competence from Kansas State. And not trying to knock Penn State too much there, but I think that there is a capability for him to be the premier guy in that offense.
Again, I'm with you. The production he had at Kent State, the measurables, for some reason, you can point towards he got on campus in mid-May last summer, and it was a short turnaround and never really seemed in sync with Drew Auer and the rest of the offense. You can point towards a lot of things. It just didn't work out, but I hope for his sake that it does. And I do want to wrap up on another wide receiver. I feel like all we're talking about is wide receivers. And this is a kid that I think it's a really interesting story, is Malik Mega, transfer from Penn State to Coastal Carolina. Now, the outside looking in perspective is going to be, well, he barely played for Penn State. He was a special teams guy. He was a project player to begin with. He belonged at a Coastal Carolina. He was never any good. He never should have been at Penn State, which I think is unfair to put on a 20-something-year-old kid. On top of that, Malik Mega, a Canadian prospect, having to come stateside and trying to learn the game in a different capacity, has all the physical tools. Like Malik McLean, is roughly 6'4", 230 pounds, can run like the wind, just a very raw prospect. You take him, now you put him in the Sun Belt Conference at Coastal Carolina, which has been on a run as of late, different look now with some departures, but still, this feels like an interesting opportunity. I don't necessarily know if he's going to light the world on fire. He is still very green overall when it comes to playing the position of wide receiver. Special teams, yes, he can contribute there. But what did you feel about Mega going to Coastal Carolina? Because it's tough to gauge these guys deeper on a depth chart.
Yeah, it's, first of all, insane the amount of gigantic receivers that Penn State was hiding on their roster. And that none of these guys managed to be productive, but I think that now more than ever, a guy like this, who all the traits you said earlier, that size is so important in college football, that you can try to get a guy with an elite frame to produce if you're good enough at coaching. They're a team that's really hitting the reset button offensively. That they're losing Grayson McCall and they lost Jamie Chadwell not that long ago. They're trying to re-identify who they are. But Coastal Carolina has been a really, really good G5 program. And I think that now in this world, we've been talking like very broad on how things are changing. I also think that one of the biggest things that happens, as I alluded to earlier, if you're not getting on the field, you should take the opportunity to find an opportunity that you're going to play a lot sooner. You're going to be a premier important player. At the same time, I at Rhode Island played with enough guys who came from these big schools that were decently highly recruited or three stars or whatnot and transferred down and then stunk and didn't do anything. I would hope though for him that a team like Coastal Carolina, for Mega, that they need bodies, they need a big body, and he could end up being that number one receiver that they need for their offense to really move.
I sincerely hope the best for him, because I think that's something that doesn't get a lot of attention, because it's not a very sexy subject, is Canadian-born players coming stateside trying to make it. Theo Johnson's a great example recently from Penn State, tight end drafted to the New York Giants, I believe in the second round, and has a lot of ability. Jesse Lucchetta, outside linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals. So there's examples of these Canadian players making it in the NFL through American college programs, but it's a tough road. You're transitioning in a lot of different ways. And I think, unfortunately, I've seen a lot of discourse where people are too hard on a kid.
Yeah.
And I just hope that he and all these people that we've talked about, for the record, have success elsewhere, because at the end of the day, if you're getting paid and you're at this level, you're winning. This is a point in college football that probably by the end of this season, or at least sometime early next year, if there is collective bargaining, this could feel very different. It could be a very different playing field. So those that are cashing in now, whether it's cashing in with tape on the field or cashing in with their direct deposit, good for you.
And I think too, though, that like this is the now more than ever, I think it's going to be very, very professionalized with the way that we talk about these players. It's going to be so, so increasingly different the way that we look at these things. The amount of criticism that a lot of them are going to face is going to be even greater.
Joe, thank you as always for coming on. Thank you for the national perspective. Thank you for the honesty on Penn State football. I think PSU fans can certainly use it. Check out Joe on the Ruffino and Joe Show on YouTube, anywhere you get your podcasts for all things college football. They do an awesome show. Like, comment, subscribe, rate us, and turn on notifications. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This episode and our entire library of shows is available now on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, let us know what you think of the show on social media and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for the handle at State of State Pod. State of State is presented by Bet Online and by Blue White Outfitters.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.